A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Footage is everywhere right now. Thousands of people rushing a section of border fence, climbing with makeshift ladders, cutting wire, pouring through a breach in waves. Most people watching it don't know what they're actually looking at. Where is this fence? Why does it exist? And what happens to the people who make it over? Daniel wrote to us about exactly this, and his questions get at something deeper than just the footage itself. Here's what he sent. He says, footage circulating on social media today shows thousands of people breaking through a breach in the border fence at Ceuta. Let's talk about this particularly unusual territory, a piece of Spain and, by extension, the European Union, located literally on the African continent. How was its border fence breached? And how extensive is the fence in the first place? More importantly, defense exists for obvious reasons for those seeking to enter Europe illegally. Ceuta is a launch pad without any other equivalent, but those jumping the fence aren't trying to get into the tiny territory on the Spanish side. How do those who make it across attempt to undertake the crossing between Ceuta and either the Spanish mainland at Gibraltar or elsewhere in continental Europe? And finally, for those who discovered this geographic anomaly via Google Maps, it's a truly strange place, almost microstate scale but belonging to a world-recognized country. What's life like on the Spanish side of the fence separating the territory from Morocco? Can you go to an ATM and take out euros as if you were in Marbella or Madrid? Who lives on the tiny territory? And is there any regular legal passage possible either way between it and adjoining Morocco? So, let's start with the most basic question. What exactly is this fence and how did it get breached?
Ceuta is a Spanish autonomous city, about 18 and a half square kilometers, sitting on a peninsula on the North African coast, directly bordering Morocco. It's one of only two land borders between the European Union and Africa. The other is Melilla, about 400 kilometers east along the same coast. But Ceuta is the one that gets the attention, partly because it's positioned right at the Strait of Gibraltar. You can see the rock from parts of the city on a clear day.
18 and a half square kilometers. For scale, that's smaller than most major airport complexes. You can drive from one end to the other in about 15 minutes.
Right. And the border fence itself runs 8.2 kilometers across the isthmus where the peninsula connects to the Moroccan mainland. It's not a single wall, it's a double barrier system. Two parallel fences, each about 6 meters high, topped with razor wire. Between them is a no-man's land corridor patrolled by the Guardia Civil. There are watchtowers, thermal cameras, motion sensors. The whole thing was built in stages starting in the 1990s, with major reinforcement after 2005 when there was a mass attempt that left several people dead.
6 meters high with razor wire on top. That's a serious physical obstacle. So how do thousands of people breach it?
The tactic is called a salto, a jump. It's not spontaneous. These are coordinated mass attempts. Hundreds or even thousands of people arrive at a prearranged section of the fence at the same time. They bring makeshift ladders, sometimes just wooden poles lashed together, and bolt cutters. The Guardia Civil Border Unit at Ceuta numbers roughly 300 officers. They're spread across the entire 8-kilometer perimeter. When 1,000 people hit one section simultaneously, there's simply no physical way to stop them all. Some get through.
Overwhelmed by sheer arithmetic, 300 officers can't physically intercept 1,000 people at a single point.
Cannot. And they're not all at the fence at once. There are shifts, there are other duties, there's the port to secure. The breach footage you're seeing is the salto tactic working exactly as designed. The fence isn't being outsmarted, it's being outnumbered.
And this is why Daniel called Ceuta a launch pad without equivalent. It's the only place where someone can reach European Union soil from Africa without crossing the Mediterranean. You step over a fence, and you're in the Schengen area. Technically.
Because here's the thing that most coverage misses. Making it over the fence doesn't mean you've reached Europe in any practical sense. It means you've reached an 18 square kilometer Spanish exclave where the authorities are waiting for you.
This is the first big misconception. The footage makes it look like the fence is the finish line. It's not.
Not even close. Once you're over the fence, you're typically detained and taken to the CAT, the Centro de Estancia Temporal de Immigrantes, the Temporary Immigrant Reception Center. Its official capacity is about 500 people. During mass entry events, it's held thousands. Conditions get, well, you can imagine what happens when you pack 4 or 5 times the designed capacity into a facility.
And from there?
From there, it depends. Some people are eventually returned to Morocco under bilateral agreements. Others are released into Ceuta itself with an expulsion order that may never be enforced because their country of origin won't accept them back or can't be identified. But the key point is, none of them are on the Spanish mainland. They're still in Ceuta, which is a tiny peninsula surrounded by water on 3 sides and a fortified border on the 4th.
So the real journey hasn't even started. How do they attempt the crossing to mainland Spain?
The primary route is the ferry from Ceuta's port to Algeciras. It's about a 1-hour crossing. The Strait of Gibraltar is only 14 kilometers wide at its narrowest point. There are also ferries to Malaga. These are regular commercial passenger ferries. People commute on them, tourists use them, and migrants who've avoided detention try to hide in vehicles boarding those ferries.
Hide in vehicles?
In the trunks of cars, underneath trucks, inside cargo containers. The port at Ceuta has security screening, but the volume of traffic is enormous. It's a duty-free port, which we'll get to, and people get creative. Some try to swim around the port security and climb onto cargo ships. Others attempt the crossing in small boats, essentially the same Mediterranean crossing you'd make from Morocco, just from a different departure point.
14 kilometers. On a clear day, you can see your destination.
You can see the lights of mainland Spain from Ceuta at night. That proximity is psychologically brutal. You've already made it over a 6-meter razor wire fence, you're standing on European soil, and the mainland is right there. But you can't reach it.
There's also a legal dimension here that complicates everything. Spain has a policy called devolución en caliente, hot return.
Yes, this is the immediate pushback policy. If you're caught on the fence itself, physically on the barrier, not on Spanish soil, Spanish authorities can push you back to the Moroccan side immediately without any administrative process. No hearing, no paperwork. The legal justification is that you haven't actually entered Spanish territory yet.
But if your feet touch the ground on the Spanish side...
Then you've entered Spanish territory, and the legal framework shifts. You're supposed to be processed, identified, given the opportunity to claim asylum. In practice, there have been documented cases of people being pushed back after reaching the ground. Human rights organizations have challenged this repeatedly, but the official policy draws the line at the fence itself.
Which creates an incentive to get over the fence as fast as possible and keep running. Don't stop at the barrier.
The fence isn't just a physical obstacle. It's a legal boundary where different rules apply depending on which side of the razor wire you're on. And in May 2021, the whole system broke down in a way that revealed how fragile the arrangement really is.
Tell me about May 2021.
Roughly 8,000 people entered Ceuta in a single day. Moroccan border guards on the other side of the fence essentially stood down. The usual cooperation between Moroccan and Spanish authorities, which is normally what keeps the fence functional, evaporated. People walked through the border crossing at Tarajal, swam around the breakwaters, climbed the fence in numbers that made the usual saltos look small. The territory was completely overwhelmed. Schools closed. The Spanish government deployed the military.
8,000 people in one day into a city of 85,000. That's nearly 10% of the population arriving in hours.
And it exposed something that the fence had been hiding, which is that the barrier only works when both sides want it to work. Morocco has leverage over Ceuta. The fence is a Spanish construction on Spanish territory, but its effectiveness depends almost entirely on Moroccan cooperation on the other side. When that cooperation is withdrawn, the fence is just metal.
So the fence is simultaneously a formidable physical barrier and a diplomatic arrangement that can be switched off.
That's the paradox at the center of this whole thing. And it connects to something Daniel asked that I think is actually the most interesting part of his prompt, the question about what daily life is like on the Spanish side. because the fence isn't a one-way barrier, it's a filter.
Let's go there. But here's the thing. The fence is only half the story. The other half is what life is actually like on the Spanish side of it.
And this is where Sota gets truly strange in the best way. It's a fully normal Spanish city. You walk down the street, you're in Spain. The ATMs dispense euros, same bills you get in Marbella or Madrid. Spanish banks operate normally. The currency is the euro. The official language is Spanish. The schools teach the Spanish national curriculum. There's a branch of the University of Granada there. It has its own parliament, its own police force, and a football team, AD Ceuta, that plays in the Spanish league system.
A football team in the Spanish league? That's the kind of detail that makes you stop and think about what Spain actually means.
And the population is about 85,000 people. The demographic mix is one of the most religiously diverse in Spain. You've got Spanish Christians, many of them families that have been there for generations. A large Sunni Muslim minority, mostly of Moroccan descent, many of whom are Spanish citizens. A small but historically significant Sephardic Jewish community that's been in Ceuta for centuries. And a tiny Hindu community, mostly merchants who arrived via Gibraltar.
Four religious communities in 18 square kilometers. That's a density of diversity you don't find in many places.
And they coexist. It's not a utopia. There are tensions. There are economic disparities. The Muslim population tends to be concentrated in certain neighborhoods. But it's a functioning, normal city. People go to work, kids go to school, there are cafes and plazas in the same rhythm of Spanish life you'd find anywhere else, except when you look out to sea, you see the Moroccan coastline.
Daniel asked specifically about legal passage between Ceuta and Morocco. Is there regular crossing?
Massive regular crossing. The border checkpoints at Tarajal and Benzu open every morning. At 6:30 a.m., thousands of Moroccan workers with permits cross into Ceuta for jobs in construction, domestic work, retail. They cross legally, they work all day, they cross back in the evening. It's a daily commute across an international border that's also the boundary of the European Union.
So, the same fence that people are dying to climb over is also a routine gateway for thousands of people who had the right papers.
That asymmetry is the thing that's hardest to wrap your head around. A Moroccan day laborer crosses legally every morning, waves at the same Guardia Civil officers, walks past the same razor wire. Hours later, someone without papers risks their life on that same fence. The barrier doesn't discriminate. The paperwork does.
And the economy of Ceuta is built on this asymmetry.
Deeply built on it. Ceuta is a duty-free port. That means goods like tobacco, alcohol, and electronics are significantly cheaper than on the Spanish mainland. This drives a massive cross-border shopping economy. Moroccans cross legally to buy goods and bring them back. Spanish tourists take the ferry from Algeciras specifically to shop in Ceuta's duty-free zone. The port sees daily ferry traffic of people coming to buy cheap cigarettes and liquor.
So the economic function of Ceuta depends on the border being open and functional, not sealed.
If you sealed the border completely, the economy would collapse. The duty-free trade, the Moroccan workforce, the cross-border commerce, all of it requires legal passage. The fence is designed to stop unauthorized entry, not to stop movement. It's a filter, not a wall.
This is what I've called strategic porosity before. Borders with design vulnerabilities, because the economic purpose requires them.
And Ceuta is the purest example of it. The fence is 8 kilometers of high-security barrier, but it has gates that open every morning. The contradiction is built into the infrastructure.
The microstate feeling Daniel mentioned, it really does have that quality. Its own parliament, its own tax regime, its own identity. But it's not a microstate, it's Spain.
It's Spain with an asterisk. Ceuta and Melilla are both autonomous cities. They have more self-governing authority than a typical Spanish municipality, but less than a full autonomous community like Catalonia or Andalusia. They send representatives to the Spanish Parliament in Madrid. They're part of the European Union, but they're outside the EU's customs union and the Schengen area's common visa policy, which is why the border controls exist in the first place.
Wait, say that again. They're in the EU, but outside Schengen?
Yes. Ceuta is EU territory, but it's not in the Schengen free movement zone. That's the legal quirk that makes the fence necessary. If Ceuta were fully in Schengen, someone who entered Ceuta could theoretically travel passport-free to Paris. So the fence functions as the Schengen border. It's where the free movement zone ends and the external border begins, even though you're physically on the African continent.
So the fence isn't just the Spanish border. It's the outermost edge of the European project.
It's the EU's southern land border, physically located in Africa. There's nothing else like it.
And for the people who live there, the 85,000 permanent residents, what's the psychological reality of that? You're Spanish. You use euros. You speak Spanish. But you're surrounded by Morocco on one side and the Mediterranean on the other, with mainland Spain an hour away by ferry.
There's an insularity to it. Ceuta feels like an island, even though it's technically a peninsula. The border with Morocco is heavily militarized. The sea is on three sides. The ferry to Algeciras is the lifeline. It's how you get to the rest of your own country. If the weather is bad and the ferries stop running, you're cut off. There's no road connection to Spain. There never will be.
An island that isn't an island. Connected to a continent it doesn't belong to politically. Separated from the continent it does belong to by 14 kilometers of water.
And that 14 kilometers is everything. It's the distance between being in the EU and being in mainland EU. Between being in a tiny exclave and being in the country proper. For the residents, it's just the commute. For the migrants in the city center, it's an uncrossable gulf.
Let's talk about the CET center for a moment. You said official capacity around 500, but it's held thousands. What's the actual experience of being processed through that system?
Slow, uncertain, and psychologically grinding. People can spend months or even years there while their cases are processed. The center provides basic shelter, food, medical care. It's not a detention facility in the punitive sense, it's a reception center, but the uncertainty is the punishment. You don't know if you'll be granted asylum, returned to Morocco, or simply released into Ceuta with an expulsion order that will never be enforced.
Released into Ceuta with an unenforceable expulsion order. That sounds like a legal fiction designed to manage an unmanageable situation.
That's exactly what it is. Spain can't deport someone if their country of origin won't accept them or can't be identified. So the person is legally ordered to leave Spain, but practically speaking, they're released into Ceuta. They can't work legally. They can't leave Ceuta for the mainland. They're stuck in this 18 square kilometer limbo.
Some of them attempt the ferry crossing anyway.
Some do. Hide in vehicles, bribe truck drivers, try to pass through port security. The ones who make it to Algeciras then face the same challenges as any undocumented migrant in mainland Spain, but they've cleared two massive hurdles to get there. The fence and the strait.
The footage that prompted Daniel's questions. The breach footage circulating today. It captures the first hurdle. The dramatic one. But the second hurdle doesn't get filmed.
No, and that's why the coverage is misleading. The fence breach is visually spectacular. Thousands of people, razor wire, Guardia Civil officers trying to hold the line. It looks like a battle. But the real story is what happens in the hours and days after the cameras leave. The processing, the detention, the legal limbo, the attempted ferry crossings. That's where the migration story actually unfolds.
What do we actually take away from this? Let's step back from the footage and think about what it really shows.
The first thing is that the fence isn't a wall of exclusion, it's a filter. Legal passage is routine and massive. Thousands of Moroccans cross every day with permits. The fence only stops those without the right papers, and its breach is a symptom of a migration system that offers no legal pathway for most Africans who want to reach Europe.
The second thing, Ceuta's geography makes it a pressure valve. The EU's border isn't at the Strait of Gibraltar, it's at that 8-kilometer fence on African soil. Every breach is a reminder that the European Union physically touches Africa, and the people who want in know exactly where that touch point is.
The third thing, and I think this is the one that's hardest to communicate in news coverage, when you see footage of a fence breach, the story doesn't end at the fence. The real question is, what happens to those who make it over, and why the legal pathways are so narrow that thousands risk the fence instead? The fence isn't the finish line, it's barely the starting line.
The people who live in Ceuta, the 85,000 residents, they live inside this contradiction every day. They use euros. They shop at Spanish supermarkets. Their kids learn Spanish history in Spanish schools. And they watch people risk their lives on the fence at the edge of town, while Moroccan workers with permits walk through the checkpoint a kilometer away.
It's a city-sized illustration of the gap between migration policy as written and migration reality as lived. The policy says, here's a legal crossing point, here are the requirements, follow the rules. The reality says, most people can't meet those requirements through no fault of their own, so they climb the fence.
The fence itself, this 8-kilometer double barrier with thermal cameras and razor wire, only works when Morocco cooperates. May 2021 proved that. 8,000 people in a day, because the political will on the Moroccan side shifted.
Which raises the open question. As the EU tightens its external border, more Frontex funding, more surveillance, more pressure on transit countries, does Ceuta become more fortified or more porous? The 2021 mass entry showed the fence can be overwhelmed not by physical force, but by political will on the Moroccan side. Morocco knows it holds leverage. The fence is a 21st century experiment in border control, and its success or failure is going to shape how the EU approaches its other external borders. In the Mediterranean, in the Balkans, wherever the next pressure point emerges.
It's a test case for whether a physical barrier can actually function as migration policy when the economic and political forces pushing against it are so much larger than concrete and razor wire.
The cutting room floor detail I keep coming back to. Ceuta's football team, AD Ceuta, plays in the Spanish league system. They're in the fourth tier right now. Their stadium seats 6,500 people. That's a fully normal Spanish football club with fans and chants and rivalries, and their home stadium is a 15-minute drive from the Moroccan border. When they play an away game, they have to take a ferry to the mainland. There's something about that detail, the mundane logistics of a lower division football club that has to cross the Strait of Gibraltar for away fixtures, that captures the strangeness of Ceuta better than any geopolitical analysis.
That's perfect. A football club that takes a ferry to away games because its home city is on the wrong continent.
The wrong continent for its league, the right continent for its geography.
If this episode changed how you see a border, if you'll never watch fence breach footage the same way, share it with someone who still thinks a fence is just a fence.
Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop, this has been My Weird Prompts.
Find us at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.